Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Always appreciate Chris Landry's time. We have him on every Wednesday, bottom of hour one. Takes all the way through those two segments for the remainder of the hour. Always good stuff from him, especially this time of the year where when it comes to football, now that most spring games have been done, that we turn to either college kids and some from our alma mater who we root for, but just in general, from the conference, from all the games we always watch, because, you know, I'm a Mississippi State grad, but of course I watch LSU and Florida every year because they play every year, and every year it's a big game. We're seeing all those kids really in the last few days before they become professionals, and I'm talking like sign with a team, contract, draft, maybe undrafted, being free agents, whatever. So talking draft, and right now with Chris Landry, there's just no better source out there. And at LandryFootball.com, again, you get that every single day, year-round, from Chris and his entire staff. I've got my subscription there, and actually I think the 24th is when mine expires, because it was right before the draft last year. And I was like, well, I don't have anything else going on in sports right now. And the Korean Baseball Organization is keeping my attention at 5 a.m. when I get out of bed to watch it. But we got the draft, and I need that as well. So that's when I re-up every year, is the end of April. But if you go to LandryFootball.com, again, get that subscription. Same place I go every single day. Always appreciate him on Wednesdays. Got David Ubin coming up from The Athletic. Covers Tennessee. Does a tremendous job. And, of course, we got no shortage of storylines on Rocky Top. And then Tara Talmadge, tremendous source on the Arkansas Razorbacks. And I was talking Sam Pittman yesterday and their spring practice and Mike Woods and everything else. That's coming up. But right now, I'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football. Every single day, this is CFB 365, presented by EcoDerm. Text EcoDerm to 31996 now for your free sample of EcoDerm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, we were just talking about this guy. Ex-Steelers wide receiver Ward to join FAU staff. Hines Ward, who I've said for, I don't know, 3 years or 4 years, he was Georgia's best receiver, Georgia's best running back. He was the best blocker maybe I've ever seen at Georgia. And he was their quarterback for part of that time. In fact, he had a Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl record for passing yards. He may still have it in a single game. But he has joined the FAU staff. Now, Owls don't have any available coaching, like on-field staff spots, so I don't know what he's doing, but he probably does, and they just can't announce it yet, so there may be some changes coming to the FAU staff. But Hines Ward joining them as to this point an unnamed position. I would imagine it would be wide receivers coach, but he can coach anything. He knows football. Headline, this is just not possible. UTEP athletics punished over football softball violations. If you're going to cheat, win. That's all I'm saying. Football team exceeded limits on the size of the coaching staff for 2 years by allowing offensive and defensive quality control coaches to provide instruction. I just said you could only have 10 on-field coaches. And there are various definitions of when it goes from whatever contact to instruction. And you can't provide instruction. So not a huge deal, but it really caught my eye that, you know, North Carolina, I said it 10 years ago, if you're going to cheat to that level, at least win. Final headline for today. It's a pretty big deal. Houston lands former UCLA wide receiver from Portal. That'd be Jalen Irwin. And he didn't play a whole lot last year. He had an injury. And I don't know what – actually, let me take that back. I think it was an injury. Could have been protocols or whatever else. But he didn't play very much. But he was a ball player earlier, back in 2019. And he's a good route runner. He's not necessarily going to be on the track team as well. But you're talking about an upperclassman that has 1 year of eligibility left, and he will be an addition, no doubt. Consider yourself up to date. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk more college football next right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks. Been dealing out your college football talk 2 hours a day since the beginning of the 2014 season. So I appreciate everybody listening, making that possible. I want to welcome on now a guy who does a tremendous job covering Tennessee for The Athletic. It is David Ubben. David, welcome. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you carving out some time today. Every story that I see about Tennessee, every comment, every tweet, every headline, it seems it involves numbers somehow. And it's numbers Tennessee doesn't have and numbers that they're short, numbers they wish they had, and numbers in the portal. Let's talk about some of these positions and numbers, but then also like SEC caliber player numbers as well. I'm going to start at the most obvious that's gotten the headline, and I've said, folks, there's context. Two of the players are limited by injuries, et cetera. But Tennessee's been running about as thin as you can at linebacker. And, again, it's April, not September, but just walk us through what you expect that room to look like come August camp.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they took a guy from the transfer portal. You know, we'll see. I think they know their numbers are short there. I don't anticipate, you know, Aaron Beasley coming back. I mean, it's possible, depending on how the legal situation shakes out. You know, obviously they would like to get Roman Harrison, Jeremy Banks back. We'll see what happens with Aaron Willis and Martavius French. But those guys missed a whole spring with the new staff. So they're going to be behind, considering they're suspended. So when the fall gets here, they should have bodies. But the question is, what is the cost of missing spring, basically? Because right now, you know, you've got Will Albright out there, a long snapper. You've got a walk-on, a former walk-on in Pat Garland, a walk-on in Unique Valentine getting some run there, Solon Page, a guy who's been around a while but hasn't really contributed. A lot of question marks. They'll have the bodies come fall, but that's the question is, you know, if you miss the spring, can you bounce back?
Oh, and by the way, comment a little bit more on Jeremy Banks. I said, folks, he's an SEC guy. When he's healthy and right, which in September you would expect that, I mean, they at least do have an answer.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, he's a guy that they like, that I think can be a contributor and be a guy that can play at a high level. But he's been limited, obviously, and he's still a converted running back who doesn't have a ton of experience. He hasn't played a ton of at Tennessee just yet. You know, last year he played well when he got those opportunities, but he still has a lot to prove. And so, you know, when you're missing most of the spring and not doing a ton of contact, that hurts you. So we'll see how it goes.
Obviously, there are carries that are up for grabs at running back. Jabari Small kind of going to get the lion's share of those. How did spring play out?
Yeah, he's been really impressive. The staff really likes him. But there's a bunch of bodies behind him. I mean, I think it depends on kind of what they want to do. Those guys are going to be doing a lot of different things, catching some balls. You know, they'll run a lot. I mean, they take a lot of their cues from kind of what's in the box and what the defense is doing. But, yeah, I think he is certainly at the front of the line there. But Tyon Evans, Jalen Wright, D. Beckwith, all guys that haven't really done anything or are newcomers, but showed a lot of promise this spring. So they'll be okay at running back. I don't think anybody's really concerned there. The only question is kind of what your share looks like.
And, you know, this is spring, and I always put an asterisk and say, folks, it's spring. There's always great stories. Jalen Wright has kind of – you mentioned him there. He's one of those that, like, if you go to the message boards, a lot of Tennessee fans are having fun mentioning Jalen Wright. Is that a spring story, or does that carry over, like, you think ball player come fall?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be a ball player. I mean, he's a guy that can make a lot of big plays for you, and he can be kind of your home run hitter. What does that – you know, mean in terms of total carries, I think time will tell. But he's a guy that can definitely contribute. I don't think it's just a spring story at all. I think it's definitely a story that will carry over. But I think he looks like probably their best home run hitter.
Continue with David Ubin from The Athletic. I don't know necessarily if even with transfers, there are some numbers up front, but there's – I don't know how many positions are settled, do you think?
Think here. I mean, Cade Mays is going to start somewhere on the offensive line.
Right guard?
I think it's going to be different. I think he's going to move around.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be one spot. He lived at right guard last year. He can play everywhere.
He's the Trey Smith player.
Yeah, a little bit. So, you know, he'll move around a little bit, but he's going to start somewhere. You kind of know it's safety. You know, Jalen McCullough and Theo Jackson back there. Trey Flowers will get in the mix. They'll move those guys around. You know, they'll be some nickelback. But those three guys are probably your starters there. That's probably it. I mean, you know that Jalen Hyatt and Bayless Jones are going to be your top two receivers. But everything else, you know, they're going to be moving some guys around.
Last position I want to mention, and, you know, when it comes to, again, true freshmen, early enrollees, you know, Caden Salter's another case of, you know, you just want to see the kid. Realistically, even come the season, I've said that there's two things for whoever plays quarterback, and I think it's Hendon Hooker, and I don't know that there's going to be much mystery. Feel free to correct me. But I said it's not just whatever the plays are and executing. I was like, but you have to figure in that pace factor, which to me, there's already way too much for a true freshman to worry about anyway. Break down the quarterback room, not now, but what you believe come August and into the beginning of the season.
Well, it got a lot more interesting this week with Joe Milton on the way.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a factor. What does that mean? What does that look like? That's up to him. You know, he's not here yet. The summer workouts haven't started. Camp hasn't started. But if he comes in and sets it on fire, I mean, this isn't really a super, super complicated scheme. So if he comes in and makes an impact, you know, I think generally the staff is not over the moon about the quarterbacks in the spring, you know, based on kind of what they inherited, but we'll see. So, you know, he'll be a factor. I agree. If they started a game tomorrow, it'd be Hendon Hooker. Behind him is an interesting question. You know, I think I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee loses either Brian Maurer or Harrison Bailey after spring, but we'll see.
Last question for you, and this is the one that, I mean, it finally calmed down, but there was, I don't know, a couple of weeks or maybe a month where it seemed it's not just Tennessee players jumping in the portal. It was like you picked the 10 best players, for instance, or the 10 most important or whatever. Tell me how the portal door has swung into Knoxville. Obviously, Hendon Hooker's part of that as well. But just how has it worked the other way, and how do you think what everybody expects the end of May, beginning of June, that next round of the portal, what's ahead for Tennessee when it comes to transfers?
Well, Milton was, I guess, a mild surprise, kind of. You know, they've been kind of talking to him for a while, but he is coming. I think ultimately, it comes down to what the staff wants to do. They're going to have some decisions to make. If you feel good about this guy can come in, he can help us right away. And linebacker, that may be the case. They can help you right away, then maybe you take him. But you also have to decide, do we want that scholarship to sit open and you can backdate your NCAA penalties based on scholarships you leave open now?
Yeah.
You still got, I think, three spots left. So that can be a factor. So you have to make some decisions. I mean, Tennessee hasn't had, you know, besides Hendon Hooker, hasn't had a ton of impact guys roll in from the portal. Certainly has been a lot more outgoing. But they have to make those decisions, and I think that that time will come, you know, after spring when you kind of sit down and think about what you got.
Do you have a close guess as to what, like, maybe the available number could be for scholarships?
They have I believe they have three. I mean, you can only take 25 a class. Mm-hmm. So in terms of total scholarships, that's kind of a complicated number because with the NCAA rule last year, I think by my count, I think they had 74 scholarship guys coming back in terms of on the roster right now. So Joe Milton would give them 75, I think. I think that's – or maybe it was 81. You'd have to go back and read the athletic. Yeah. Apologies. I've slept since I wrote that.
All right.
I believe it was somewhere around there. So, you know, that number is going to be weird this year everywhere because you're going to have some places that have 90, 95 because of seniors that stayed. And Tennessee had, I think, 11 guys that took advantage of the extra year, five defensive linemen. So that number is complicated, but I've made the case that this is better than the alternative for Tennessee because I think the gap between a program that has – 92 scholarships and a program that has 80 in Tennessee.
Huge.
I think that gap is smaller than a program that has 84 in Tennessee, which in a normal year would probably be sitting around with like 66, something like that. I think that gap is smaller.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things I had talked about. I mean, as you go further down, you're getting back to like COVID protocol numbers because, I mean, you're not getting far away from like high 50s there. Yeah, I've always, you know, looked at the Tennessee situation when we saw that rush of kids, and I said that that is a potential missed opportunity because, as you said, this year we know in 21 at least you can exceed the 85 number if you have super seniors that get you above that, but you can't exceed 25 scholarships, and that's what's going to have Tennessee at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. The numbers, you mentioned it, are going to be complicated.
Yeah. All right, brother, I appreciate the inputs. Great stuff as always. Love everybody at The Athletic. Tremendous site. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, David Ubin again. That's Seth Emerson and Mandel, just a bunch of folks there that you know, and they do a good job covering college football. I still look at, because they have team-specific coverage, obviously, and I still look at some of the teams they have versus what they don't. And I also know that part of it is the, you know, the business metric of which fan base is possibly more likely to respond and support through subscriptions, because that's what The Athletic is. But the quality of the writing there is just really, really, just really top notch. So I appreciate David making time, but that's what they're not going to be able to take advantage of, is the ability to take the field with 96 players or 95 players or 90 players, or even this year, maybe 85 players. That now, again, this had been before spring practice and still relevant numbers, I believe, that if you had maybe four scholarships and Milton is one of those, that the numbers that Tennessee could attain if no one else leaves. And see, we're making a big assumption because what do we think about? I'm spending the wheel and it lands on Texas Tech. Post spring practice, there's somebody in Lubbock who looks down and says, "Oh, I'm still second team. I'm a junior. I'm leaving." That happens at Texas Tech, not because of anything to do with the coaches or the locale or the program or the, I don't know, the logo. I don't like the logo anymore. I'm leaving. None of that. It has to do with, that's what happens in college football after spring practice. It's going to happen in Tennessee, too. That's the tough part. You cap at 25, regardless of how many people leave. So that has been an idea that you can get a scholarship to replace someone specifically and go above the 25. And so it's going to be addressed. Absolutely guarantee is going to be addressed, and probably sooner rather than later. There are a lot of roster management issues that are way different than anything any of us thought of just a couple of years back.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now, more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And if we can DeLorean back a year ago, I remember talking about if there is a season and how it unfolds, et cetera, that remember there was a storyline that was kind of fun to talk about because we were having to invent things to talk about, and it's, hey, if Felipe struggles out yonder in Fayetteville, there's this kid, Malik Hornsby, ooh, you better watch out. And then the Hogs needed somebody else to play, and it was KJ Jefferson. I feel a little bit redeemed because I've been riding the Malik Hornsby train, and he had some extensive game action this past Saturday, and he showed out a little bit, as did, honestly, everybody on both sides of the offense. Want to welcome on now. I'm going to call her a friend of the program from Pig Trail Nation. That's all the news stations, all the, you know, the affiliates there in Arkansas. They pull it together and do a great job covering it. It is Tara Talmadge. And, Tara, I want to welcome you, and you were also on the sidelines the other day for the broadcast, right?
I was, yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you carving out some time today. Let's talk about that offense that certainly out of the gate, Jefferson was just bombs away, and the offense on both sides did a really good job. Let's talk about Jefferson and his start and his performance.
Yeah, I mean, we expected KJ to do well, especially after last season. He had a couple of good showings, especially against Missouri primarily last year, and so KJ did well. I think the main thing with him is they're still hoping he's going to be a big dual threat QB. And so they're wanting to see him run a little bit more. But obviously during spring, when you're touching and blowing the whistle so fast with those guys, it's really kind of hard to see that. So we did see improved accuracy with KJ, and especially Malik Hornsby. I know you brought him up just a second ago. And so that was really good to see because Sam Pittman had brought that up, I think, the week prior to the spring game and said that accuracy was somewhat of a concern. And it didn't look like that much of an issue for those two guys during the spring game. They had some good connections and some good throws.
Treylon Burks was kind of awesome. He's Treylon Burks. Mike Woods caught a touchdown pass and then jumped in the portal. Talk about Saturday if you want to, but then also getting in the portal, because I literally was just talking at the beginning of the show about, you know, the end of May after spring practice, and I realized I hadn't moved up the depth chart or whatever. That's when you get that next round of guys deciding to look for a new school. What up, Mike Woods?
Mike Woods was, no joke, such a huge surprise. I don't think any of us fully understand why he decided to enter the transfer portal. He was the number two receiver for Arkansas, obviously behind Burks, but he did well in the spring game and also to go through the entire spring and then realize that that's not what you want to do is kind of interesting as well. He did put out some stuff on Twitter saying that it has nothing to do with the coaching staff at all. He loves Arkansas and loves that staff as well. So it just, something's not adding up. Like, something's a bit off. I'm not sure exactly if that means maybe he wants a more experienced quarterback, a guy who can make better, you know, down the field passes to him, which would be understandable, I guess. You want a more seasoned guy. He could also end up back at South Carolina with former Arkansas wide receivers coach Justin Stepp, who is now at South Carolina. It's just a really interesting move, though, because now Arkansas has to try and replace a guy. The good thing is that's a pretty deep positions group right now. Mm-hmm. So there's choices. You just have to see who's going to actually step up.
Well, as I said, I mean, literally from the outset with Jefferson going lights out, and then when Malik Hornsby, and I guess he was on the red team, maybe they caught up. It was a tough day for the defense. Was it because the offense was on, or is it because there are some issues over there that need to get resolved?
You know, that's always the hard part about the spring. It's hard to tell when they're facing each other like that. But I do have to say, some of those touchdown passes seemed pretty open. So not too sure what's going on that defensive side of the ball. They had a couple of turnovers, but most of those turnovers seemed like they were more on the fault of the offense than really the defense making a good play. So still, there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and everyone talks about the secondary for the Arkansas defense and how that's definitely their strength. You've got some really good guys returning in that group. So I have high expectations for them. I'm not really going to base it off of that spring game. I'm sure that they'll do pretty well in the hands of Barry Odom, who really helped turn things around last season.
All right, folks, we're talking with Tara Talmadge. Go back on the podcast, listen to what she just said. Quote, I'm not going to base a whole lot on one spring game. That's exactly the attitude to have. Were you healthy? Did you develop a little bit? Last thing for you, what about the fan base, though? Because it's kind of, if, you know, when I'm in part of my fan base and not media, it's kind of the role we're supposed to make too much of a spring game or a decommitment or a coaching change. Where's the fan base right now? I want to say I hope it's still upbeat after what happened in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone in Northwest Arkansas and Arkansas in general is still very optimistic and hopeful for this next season. Everyone is still on board with Sam Pittman and his staff. He made a couple of different changes coming into this season in terms of his staff. But I do think that them winning three SEC games is a whole lot more than anyone really would have picked them to win last year. So now that they're not playing a 10-game SEC schedule, I'm sure the expectations are going to be higher. However, I do think that this Arkansas fan base is happier than they've been in a long time when it comes to this football team. So very hopeful for the next season, and I don't think that one spring game or one guy transferring is going to change that.
Hog fans, listen to her. It was just a spring game. Tara, I appreciate it. We will catch up with you as we get into summer, okay?
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tara Talmadge again. I know it's her because she got blue check. Again, Pig Trail Nation, the news affiliates, the TV stations, they pull, get a crew, they go out and cover Arkansas football because it's Arkansas football's the biggest sports thing going on in the state. And so they all do it together and do a great job there. But it was, again, it's not my program. And so I'll use the word, it caught my attention. It was interesting, like interesting good, interesting bad. Caught my attention. Some of the reaction after the spring game, I thought our defense was supposed to be better. They've got a couple of super seniors coming back on defense as well. So, you know, you're thinking that we'll take a leap, some improvement. And we've got two guys, neither of whom was a starting quarterback. And we can't even get out of the gate without being down, boom, boom, two big scores through the air. That wasn't what you were necessarily expecting with the spring game, especially, again, with two first-time starters. Well, two quarterbacks who have never started before. One of them will be a first-time starter despite, you know, the action Jefferson got. I believe it was just one game he started, I think. But against those quarterbacks and an experienced defense, and actually Catalan, everybody in the secondary, there's talent there. And it just didn't show on Saturday, folks. Sometimes the oldest players are the ones who either get held out completely or if they play some. It could be anything beyond an injury to a protocol situation. We have no idea. But they fielded their teams. They had a first 11 and a second 11 on defense, and they got their run out there against the red and white as well. So, again, don't fret about the defense. It was like I said, interesting to me. It caught my attention that was the immediate reaction, and it was harder. It's a harder sell to say no. It's just that the two quarterbacks who have never started before. It's just that they are really great right out of the gate. So and then the Mike Woods thing, as she said, just really a big mystery there. So we're gonna take a break. We'll come back, wrap up on a Wednesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Some of it's just a maturity. They don't know how. The work ethic's not taught them. Some of them just go about avoiding doing the right thing. And that would be Terry. He just is out there trying to skirt. He would walk a mile to try to con you rather than take two steps and do the right thing.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I had started my conversation today talking about DeAndre Brown, a kid out of Ocean Springs, Mississippi, five-star receiver, number one player in the state, number 12 player in America at any position from anywhere. And he chose to go to Southern Miss, and I think I did two of his games as a freshman. And I remember looking, Bob Neal was doing play-by-play. I looked at him, I was like, all right, he's different. He's just one of those guys. I've talked about that. I was doing a high school game, and I looked at a sophomore, Robert Kimdichie. I was like, all right, who's that? Because he hadn't become Robert Kimdichie yet. And so, sometimes kids just look different. Tamori and Terry, my goodness. It's tough to find receivers with this combination, like this full array of skills, because Tamori and Terry can accelerate past a defensive back when they're both already running. And he's a kid at 6'3 and about 210. It's not about the physical in the least. He's big, he's strong, he's got good, whatever. He can do all of it. And I said, he just doesn't seem to do enough of it. And that everything, the way I put it was, everything that Tamori and Terry needs to improve on is something you can choose. And if you look across the NFL right now, I mean, the 5'10 guy can't choose to be 6'1. He can choose to study more film work so that he is aligned quicker and that he recognizes the motion and what he's supposed to do a half count sooner. He can do all that. Everything Tamori and Terry, it seems to me, is missing is something he could choose. That he could play with better technique, he could have better focus, he could work on his hands better to avoid some of the drops. And it didn't look like it was any sort of physical limitation, which is always a giant, giant issue. I've said, you know, all things being equal, doesn't have to necessarily be equal. But if it's like it looks like an apple and an apple, like it looks close enough, folks, it is a monster factor. And I don't know that it's ever showed up on Madden or NCAA sports. It's a monster. How much do you like playing football? Well, he loves the game. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, you know, he starts the slow clap in the locker room. I'm saying he likes playing football. He likes it because you know what that is? We're talking about the draft here. That becomes his J-O-B. Show of hands right now and be honest. Who loves their job? Like 7% of people just raised their hand. You love your job. 7%. How many people like their job? I think a lot more people raise their hand. You want to at least like your job. And with the money in pro sports, you can do it just for the paycheck. you can kind of laze your way through. And so I was wondering about Tamori and Terry because he is a first-round talent. And I brought up Terrence Marshall, and that's one thing that Chris Landry also talked about. He said, you know, there aren't a lot of big receivers. Terrence Marshall's one of them. Terrence Marshall is, I mean, they're not even in the same conversation. And they should be. Like, under consider, hey, do we take Terrence Marshall at the end of the first round, or do we wait till the sixth round and take Tamori and Terry? And it was mystery. I was like, I just can't reconcile the difference between what I know he can do and where he's going to get drafted. And then Chris Landry kind of put that into perspective pretty clearly. So he is with us, of course, every single Wednesday, bottom of hour one. He wraps up the entire first hour. We also had David Ubin on from The Athletic. Tara Talmadge jumping on from Pig Trail Nation covering the Hogs. And, again, she's doing sidelines on the SEC Network broadcast of the Hogs game. So I appreciate them coming on. Don't forget as well that if you missed the program or one of the – David Ubin was on? I'm a Vols fan. Podcast or app, whatever you want. Podcast, thepodcastpark.com. If you go there, this is the cool part. The podcast part, you can hit subscribe. And it'll just show up in on your phone every single day. Your device, iPad, whatever it is you want to listen to. So go to the podcast part or wherever you get your podcast and just click subscribe. Boom, it shows up. Dan Matthews will be popping in just a minute. Right now, I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Last year, I used best. This year, I will use most. I'm talking about quarterback play in the ACC. There is one program in the entire ACC that does not have at least one quarterback returning with starting experience. There is Duke. There is one program in the ACC that doesn't have at least a quarterback, if not multiple, coming back who have started games. I said last year that I thought going into the season the ACC was going to have the highest level of quarterback play, the best quarterback play in America, and maybe they did. Even when Trevor Lawrence didn't play, it was really good. This year, obviously, you lose some star power. We know about that. Maybe the second biggest star in the conference, and De'Ara King, there's still at least a question mark. But as far as the rehab and coming back from the injury and the ability to do that, he looks fine. It looks like everything is going along according to plan. If you look around the ACC, though, you know what you have a whole lot of? Guys that either you didn't realize he's still there or, you know what, he's a little better than I realize. Phil Yurkovic, he was an Ohio State kid that transfers to BC. Man, what a good-looking quarterback he was last year, and tough and resilient and put a shoulder pad into somebody. I like Yurkovic a lot. Kenny Pickett. I've said before, he's kind of limited, but he's really experienced. He's smart, and I think he's going to be one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league next year. A part of that built on the fact that you're going to have a three-year starter there. Jeff Sims at Georgia Tech, we know the ceiling there. Sam Hartman, folks, you have to go back to when Jamie Newman, three seasons back, was still at Wake Forest. He and Sam Hartman kind of traded off that job depending on injury, performance, etc. By the way, Demon Deacons, they had 20 starters coming back. Now, I would rather have 20 starters coming back at Florida or LSU or Clemson, etc. But at Wake Forest, what Dave Clawson's put together to have almost everyone back, including Sam Hartman, which a returning starter doesn't even tell the story when you get to a third or fourth year guy at the position. Syracuse, if you haven't been paying attention, they got Garrett Schrader, the kid from Mississippi State. Starting experience, not there, but starting experience. Devin Leary coming back from injury. Cunningham at Louisville. Brennan Armstrong, who I think is going to be some sort of combination with Keaton Thompson. You talk about options for Bronco. And then, of course, Virginia Tech with Burmeister. And I told you about De'Ara King, et cetera, and DJU. I just went through every single program, and I have an I'm not sure at Duke. Everywhere else, you have an idea of being sure because you have watched at least one guy, if not two or three, start and play, if not at the Power 5 level, certainly at the Division 1. So just a really strong array of quarterbacks, not as strong as last year, I believe, and especially with the question mark about De'Ara King, but still just a great selection there in the ACC. Not a whole lot of drop-off and certainly none in depth. That is my closing argument. Brought to my law offices of Alexander, Shannara & Associates. No matter where you are in the Deep South, whether it's Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, wherever, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Schnarr & Associates. Dan Matthews, what up?
Oh, not much. And, you know, I actually want to do one bit of objective critique right here.
No, don't be too objective on this show, but go ahead. Do one bit of it.
Not of you necessarily, but something that was said earlier about Tomori Unteri. And I think that it comes down to twofold with players like Tomori Unteri and the player that you brought up earlier with Southern Miss.
DeAndre Brown.
More often than not, that is a decision that was made by a coach to decide that they wanted a player in their program where you took the talent over anything else. If nothing else, you saw on tape and you saw in person, oh, incredibly talented, oh, world talented. How is he character-wise? Ah, don't worry about it. Once we get him in the building, it's not going to matter because the talent's going to overweigh everything else. I've kind of learned in my professional life, but also, too, in the life of athletics, that soon enough, talent only takes you so far because you will lose a game that you don't want to lose or that you're not supposed to lose. But more often than not, the moral of the story is that if you take the talent over anything else, it's going to end up coming back on you and it's going to end up hurting you. And it's kind of the whole thing where we see it with players, we see it with coaches, we see it in our industry all the time, that if you're a pain in the backside and you're so much of a pain in the backside to the people who make the decisions that affect your standing with said company or said organization, then chances are, more often than not, the trend is going to be they're going to look for a reason to get rid of you. So I think it kind of comes to what the culture was at Florida State to allow this to even happen. And if nothing else, you can talk to coaches. You can talk to people. I mean, he's an 18, 17-year-old kid. I mean, how many of us at that age think that we know the world, and how many of us think that we've got everything figured out?
Now, here's one divider, though, and every coach and most coaches will kind of fudge the lines here because they want to get the really talented kid. Is it just knucklehead, he's kind of a turd, you know, sort of teenager, or is it like this is a serious attitude problem? Because you said, you know, it winds up coming back on you. I was talking about earlier this week, I think on Monday, how did Percy Harvin come back on the Florida Gators? National championship. Go Google your computer and find out, read about Percy Harvin as a high school senior. I mean, he just walked around with his mad face on all the time and got in a lot of trouble. In fact, I think he got kicked out of the state track meet or something, or disqualified from. And so that's Percy Harvin. Now, to your point, though, coming out of high school, you don't know if it's Percy Harvin or Dayreek Rogers, who was walking around. Was it the story about the locker room before the Kentucky game?
Yeah.
Even if we win today, we go to a crappy bowl game, so it doesn't matter. Like, you've got a guy walking around allegedly telling teammates, oh, don't try to win today because it'll be a bad bowl game. Every coach believes they'll get the right guy, and so they always take the guy.
But then, Chuck, to my point, though, it's kind of like what Chris Landry says in the words that I live by whenever I hear him on the show. It's either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. So, again, it comes back on the coaches.
I agree with you. Tim Markham, who nobody here knows, he was a coach in the league, also in the Arena League for a long time. He talked about releasing kickers. He says, life's too short to dance with fat women. He's like, you wouldn't say that today, but that was Tim Markham, and he's passed. But it's the same thing on draft prospects. Wraps it up on a Wednesday. Be back tomorrow.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
Call 800-387-4788. 800-387-4788. 800-387-4788.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.